Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
It's time for You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. They bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
Here's what we're never going to talk about on this show. Is Greg Popovich not a good coach because he lost two exhibition games? Get the hell out of my face and never come back.
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
All of our conference teams are going to be collectively sort of drawn into the middle between 6 and 7 wins, but over 5.5. So they all exist kind of in a clump, and then they're distributed out from there. 20-22% of teams finish with under 6.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Yes, it is. You Better You Bet. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you on BetQL, where the only BS you're going to get, bets and sports, live on Odyssey.com, live on the Odyssey app, live on Odyssey stations nationwide as part of the expanded BetQL. And the You Betters, of course, congregating on YouTube at youtube.com/Odyssey Sports. We appreciate each and every one of you tuned into the show today, whether you're watching, listening, or on YouTube, as Ken and I get set to bring you the wagertainment for the next 4 hours, talking all things sports betting. Proudly presented today and always by the BetRivers Sportsbook. Deposit $250 and you will get that $250 match at our show sponsor, BetRivers.com. And also download the BetQL app for all the tools you need to take down the sports books, including Dem algorithms. Promo code Costos at checkout for 20% off any subscription. BetQL.com and the BetQL app on this wonderful Wednesday, July 21st in the year of our Lord 2021. We are on Twitter at You Better You Bet. The show is on Instagram at YBYB Sports. I am on Twitter and Instagram at the Costos, THEKOSTOS. Ken Barkley on Twitter at Lockie Lockerson. Four fantastic guests coming your way today on this wonderful Wednesday. Our pal Matt Moore from the Action Network joins us in about 40 minutes to recap the NBA season that was. It's kind of a shame that it's over. Milwaukee, of course, winning the championship last night. We'll get to that. We'll talk about that game with Matt Moore. Looking ahead to next NBA season, we've got title odds courtesy of Bet Rivers and the NBA draft, of course, coming up 8 days from today, next Thursday night. We'll also do that in hour number three with Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider. Bobby is primed and ready to go talking NBA draft props. That should get you interested. That's coming up in hour number three with the great Bobby Marks. Also going to be joined by Brody Miller from The Athletic, talking college football, SEC media days. We're excited for that. And Jeff Feinberg of FTN and Mayo Media in hour number three, giving us his picks for the 3M Open this weekend on the PGA Tour and a little National Football League as well with our pal Jeff Feinberg. Plus, Ken and I give you a full recap, game 6 of the NBA Finals, and we will bask in the glory of Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, your NBA champions. And as we said earlier, we've got title odds already for next year. Never too early to talk about it. We will begin to set the table for next NBA season. Title odds, Damian Lillard odds, Ben Simmons odds. We're going to get to all of it coming up here in hour number one. We're going to continue our NFL mailbag series, taking your bets, your tweets here, your favorite bets on the upcoming NFL season, including if the GOAT can win NFL MVP. We've got quotes from SEC Media Day right now in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm going to ask Ken Barkley the question. Hey, Ken, how do you feel about Alabama this year without Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris and company? Ken Barkley is going to answer that question and others about the SEC coming up in hour number three. Power hour, final hour of the show. All our bets for tonight, not just Major League Baseball, but Tyler Morales joins the show for golf bets for the 3M. and I got money to play with off my Morikawa win last week. The card this week, I'm just telling you right now, the card is epic. And this show, Ken Barkley, is going to be epic. You, Ken Barkley, are epic. Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Ken Barkley, is epic. How are we doing today?
Doing great. Obviously enjoyed the game a lot last night in a lot of different ways, which we'll get to in a second. Always fun to look ahead to next season too. We'll start doing that next segment. It was fun just to jot down a bunch of, like, anytime you think about something for the first time, like a new season, we turn the page on something. It's always fun to just like, all right, like, well, I didn't see the prices that BetRivers put out before I started writing stuff down. I'm like, all right, what would I do? Who would I have favored? What would I do? Just a really fun exercise. So looking forward to doing that as well. But we can look backward for a bit because let's start with me because it was awesome. It was a really fun night last night. I was gonna say let's start with Milwaukee because they won the title, but
Milwaukee. I mean, that was really our show. Well, Milwaukee.
I mean, you couldn't help but feel great watching the end of the, I mean, just forget the betting part. It couldn't help but feel great, but betting helped. Under, which every single human that came on the show that advocated for a position in the game, liked the under in the game. Reed Wallet came on hours before the game, liked the under in the game. I also really liked the under in the game. Under hits, as it turned out, not with a sweat whatsoever. The third quarter, as it did in this entire series.
I was a little nervous. I was going to say at the start of the third quarter that we were going to have to sweat it, but we didn't have to sweat it at the very end, thankfully.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, like, what, 99 scored in the first half, something like that, in the 90s. And then live total got pretty close to the pregame number in the third quarter, but ended up fourth quarter was very low scoring, enough that we didn't have a sweat. So the under comes through, which was great. Had some messages with people about that. From a clout standpoint, the prop off went very well for yours truly. A narrow victory over Quentin Mayo. Maybe we'll have
Quentin, but a victory nonetheless. Ken.
So I have defended your honor, my liege, and I humbly ask to return, you know, return back to the peasants after serving in the King's Court temporarily.
Oh no! Now you're in the King's Court now permanently. Yeah. Rick was expelled from the kingdom.
Rick has to
rub shoulders and elbows with the peasants at this point because Rick lost to Quentin. You now you're my right hand man. You're in the throne from now on. You're the master of coin, Ken Barkley, of this
master
particular
of coin.
Kingdom.
Love it. The treasurer, you know, all that kind of stuff. Probably permanent residence in the Ivory Tower while Rick's tilling the land. It was awesome. So prop off successful, that's obviously really fun. The props also won last night 3-2, which was really fun. And then just like the absolute like cherry on top, which was like, look, it was a small bet. We're not like winning millions of dollars here with plus 700 plus 800 depending on if people sent me different tickets that they ended up getting it at. To bet the Bucks to win by 7-9 points, which is
the Jeff Fisher bet.
Love that.
I should have used that yesterday.
That's actually really funny. And I had never heard you say that before. That was really funny.
I literally came Bucks up with it on the spot just now. Bucks,
and it was literally listed 7-9. It's perfect. Bucks win by, such a narrow range. And to have it, like, with even 3 minutes left, I'm like, I don't know. It kind of feels like a 7-9 point game the way this is playing out. Like, Bucks kind of pulled away. Middleton hit that big, big jumper. I think that put him up 6 with about a minute left. Timeout. Phoenix. And so the sweat ended up being awesome, but it was fun. So obviously won all that stuff. Everyone was very happy, but to have the final game of the year also have like an incredible spread sweat at the end. I mean, a 3-pointer that literally decides, I mean, a massive, no, probably not decision for books. I don't know how lopsided they were. They were probably heavier on the Bucks. They probably needed the Suns would be my guess. Just because of kind of like the vibe and feeling about the series. And there probably was a lot of public money coming in on Milwaukee, but a 3-pointer away within the closing seconds from basically winners and losers.
Because I got
to
tell you,
I would have lost my 7-9. Like, I would have lost that too. I mean, like, there was a lot going on those final possessions, even though the total wasn't in doubt. But yes, a great night and a great night that ended up coming down to the final possession.
Listen, like, Giannis had an all-time great night. Obviously, everybody knows that. Insane. If you watch the game, if you have a brain, you saw that. You know what would have been great? Can you make this? I guess it's actually better for history that like he finished with a flat 50 as opposed to 51. Yeah. Like there's something poetic about that, that sure. it wasn't 49. It wasn't 51. Like he went to Chick-fil-A earlier on his Instagram live. If you haven't seen that, it's all over social media. Made sure to say not 49 nuggets, not 51, but I scored 50 last night. You know, 51 would have been nice though, because it would have given me a little extra cushion there on my Bucks spread bet. And then Pat Connaughton goes to the line and misses two at the very end of the game. Like, really, Pat? Like, really? That's what happens. You can't make one. You can't just make one free throw. So the Bucks end up winning by 7. I end up with the Bucks last night. That's a victory, Ken. Yep. Got the under last night. I gave it out everywhere. All the radio hits I did. got tweets last night. Wow, great call with the under, great call with the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm thinking as the game's going on, especially early on first quarter, Bucks look great. No one can make a shot. I'm like, man, why did I decide to bet 10 props tonight? Like,
why and eight, tonight? Eight overs.
Eight overs. Now, I went 4-6 on the props. Yeah. 6-6 overall with the wins on the side in total. So not as good a night as you had, Ken, with the bets, but very entertaining stuff. And
active. Very busy.
And listen, yeah. And look, I think that's a pretty, you know, apropos way to end the season for me. 6-6 on the final game, 12 bets, 500 wins on side in totals, and the props a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah, absolutely. And from a big picture standpoint, a future standpoint, obviously Scal, who was on with yesterday, sweating a big Milwaukee position, he ends up cashing. He was on very early, in the postseason to tell us he liked Milwaukee. Matt Moore, who we'll have on in two segments. We did our postseason bracket, which feels like it was 9.5 months ago. And it was a pretty long time ago. I think it was like 3 months ago that we had him on to do the postseason tournament bracket. I think he had Bucks Clippers basically was his final, if I remember correctly.
And I almost like fell out of my chair when he said it. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
And he said it, and in my head I go, no way. Bucks Clippers. This would have to be the craziest. Right. This would have to be the craziest postseason ever for Milwaukee to win. Well, it ended up being pretty crazy. So a lot of people, kind of friends of the show, I know, celebrating Milwaukee's victory. For you and I, not as good, but our losses, like, that was red ink on like last month's balance. Like that's way water under the bridge. Had some Suns that didn't end up cashing, but just from like a, you know, did we see this coming at the start of the playoffs? Like, was this insanely surprising now that we have a chance to reflect on it and that it's over and that Milwaukee has won? In a way, yes. In a way, no, right? It's not surprising if you like don't have opinions on players and like hot takes on teams. If it's just like numbers, like who's good, who wins a lot of games, who's won a lot of awards, then I guess the Bucks aren't very surprising, right? They win a ton of regular season games every year. Their best players won 2 MVP awards. He won Defensive Player of the Year. They're really good. Right. They have 3 really good players. But if you have a brain, but you know what I mean? Like if you have an emotional part of your brain or if you watch the games and you try to think about them, we all, and I say we all, because it really was like almost everybody was just like, nah,
they're hard to trust. They were hard to trust.
I don't know.
And they've earned it now until they blow it next year at some point.
Well, and the craziest thing about them, because like all, I had a couple people message me like, well, what do you take back the stuff that you said about them? Be like, well, what, that Giannis has a clunky offensive game, which is like still true, by the way. It doesn't mean he's not insanely a generational amazing player. But yeah, when he takes the 12-foot jump hooks, does it look amazing? Not really. It doesn't have to look smooth for him to be insane and incredible. In this
Do I have to apologize to Coach Bud? I feel like I do, right?
Weekend at Bud's played for like, a listen, week like, while you were on vacation.
So, listen, here's the thing. Like, I still kind of think Coach Bud sucks. It doesn't matter, though. He's a champion. It really doesn't, because he's a champion. He won. Yeah. So I'll eat crow here. I'm wrong. Coach Bud's a champion. Now, look, you know, if he goes, you know, a decade plus like Doc Rivers without winning one, now we can criticize him a little bit. But for right now, as far as I'm concerned, Coach Bud, bulletproof. Like, it ain't Weekend at Bud's anymore. We thought he was dead. He just stood up and walked into the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So good for him, man. And listen, I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I was wrong on this one. I take the L. I still don't think he's a great coach overall, but he won a championship. So what else can you say? You tip the cap to Coach Bud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to respect the accomplishment. And I think the thing I like the most about Milwaukee, and I didn't like a lot about them at the start, but they basically like they got better as the postseason went on. Like the finals was their bet. Like it was the best of Giannis. It was the best of Jrue Holiday. It was the best of Chris Middleton versus literally any other version of them we'd ever seen in their entire careers. That was like the coolest part, is that it wasn't, like, they didn't play okay and Phoenix played bad and Milwaukee won. It was like, no, like that's what it took. It took actually like a Giannis performance like we had literally never seen. Like, we basically haven't seen the history of the finals.
The comeback in game 5. Unbelievable from the first quarter blitzkrieg.
Took a Middleton performance, clutch shot making, and so many of the wins, which really kind of was something that we knocked him for previously. It took Jrue Holiday basically becoming like the best defensive player in the league almost in terms of shutting down Devin Booker and Chris Paul, and then adding in offense of his own. Like, it took those 3 things occurring. So in a way, it was like a very feel good, cool championship, because like it took this insane version level of this team to accomplish it, because Phoenix was a worthy adversary. So like that, it made it, you were able to almost appreciate it more, because it's so obvious that they turned into the best team. They turned into the best version of every single one of their players. Like that made it really cool as like a reflective thing. Like, look how far everyone's come, which we do at the end of every season with every title winner. But with these guys, it like felt real. It felt legitimate to say that this was like the bet, literally in this series, you got the best version of all of these guys who had basically never shown you their best version yet. That was really cool.
I like that you use the word reflect there, right? Reflect at the end of the season, because not only do we do that for all the teams that we cover, the teams we talk about, the teams we bet on, the teams we bet against, but we do that for ourselves. And look, you know, we'll see how this coming NFL season goes. But the fact is, last NFL season was a really profitable one for us. We had a great NFL season
for the show.
Collectively.
Like, forget us for the show.
Yeah. College basketball. I mean, largely, Ken, thanks to you, we had a very profitable, and like Eli, obviously, when he was on BetQL Daily and BetSweats, we as like a channel and this show had a really profitable college basketball season. And like, look, we had our ups and downs with the NBA. We had some losing streaks. You had your Undertaker streak where you went like 28-3 over the span of like 4 days. But overall, you know, punctuated by your performance last night, me hitting the side in total, Rick doing an unbelievable job with his player props. Like Rick tweeted his records last night. Like Rick, a massive part of our show, betting the NBA and otherwise. Like our guests coming on, like absolutely nailing everything. Ken, as you detailed, there are guys we didn't even mention. Like Whale Kepper comes on, gives us great bets. Oh, I think this is a job well done to us as well. And I think you, our listeners and viewers, would have to agree if you've been with us throughout the ride here. I think you probably won money, right? How could you not have? You sure. Almost definitely won money, unless you bet everything on the Nets and Sixers come out of the East, in which case maybe not. But that would probably offset by Jokic, though, to win MVP. So
yep.
Great season for us here on You Better, You Bet. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to next season in the NBA. Never too early to do that. We've got title odds courtesy of Bet Rivers. Who's going to win the championship next year? Are there value plays to be had? Where's Ben Simmons going to play? How about Damian Lillard? We're going to tell you next.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Mike Minis, 50 exactly. Okay. Not 51, not 49. Chicken Minis, yes. 50. Large drink, no ice, half Sprite, half lemonade. Okay. Thank you.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
The Greek Freak, the newly minted finals MVP, maybe the best player in the world at this point, rolls up to Chick-fil-A earlier today. He was on his Instagram Live. It's all over social media. If you missed it, orders, as you heard, not 49, not 51, but 50 chicken nuggets at Chick-fil-A. I really like the order, by the way, of half Sprite, half lemonade.
Yeah. You ever done that before?
No.
Yeah, neither have I.
Sounds really good, though.
Yeah. That's Chick-fil-A was where they went. It's Chick-fil-A lemonade, too. Chick-fil-A lemonade's really good.
Well, yeah. By really good, you mean what does that have? Like 20 a ton more of sugar. Grams of sugar than anyone else. Yeah. No ice is a strange move.
A lot of people get no ice because you feel like you get ripped off. You get like ice takes up like 80% of the cubic feet of the cup and then you don't get a lot of drink.
I can't believe the phrase cubic feet was just used on the show.
I tried to sound as pretentious as possible.
Yeah, you succeeded. Yeah, like, no, I get that. But for me, like, right. It's not going to be cold otherwise, though. It's going to be cold for like 30 seconds. Then you have lukewarm lemonade Sprite. And then nothing in the world sounds worse than that.
Lukewarm lemonade Sprite.
Yeah, horrendous.
The way you put that, definitely, you sold it yeah, poorly, and I mean that in a good way.
All right. Matt Moore is going to join us in 20 minutes from the Action Network, putting a bow on this NBA season and looking ahead to next season with the great Matt Moore. A lot of NFL coming up next hour on the show. Brody Miller going to join us as well from The Athletic, talking college football with SEC Media Days emanating from Birmingham, Alabama. But again, with the NBA season done, our pals at Bet Rivers, our show sponsor, have put title odds up for next year.
Why
which
wait?
Is absolutely awesome. Why wait is a great question. The answer is we're not going to. There's no reason to wait, so we won't. Are you ready here? And for people that are watching on YouTube or on the Odyssey app, Eli, Bill, and Rick doing a great job at the graphics on the screen. You'll be able to see them here. So, you know, apologies if you're watching and you see these already, but for the benefit of those that are just listening, I will read these title odds. Ken Barkley, are you ready?
I am ready.
So again, title odds from Bet Rivers for next NBA season. It should surprise nobody that the two favorites are the Nets and the Lakers. The Nets plus 200 to win the NBA championship, far and away the favorite. LeBron and the Lakers up next plus 550. ESPN's Mark Spears, by the way, reporting today, perhaps serendipitously here, that the Lakers are looking for a veteran point guard and two names on the list, Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. Just something to keep in mind as we have this conversation. The defending champion Bucks are up next at plus 700. Golden State, 10-1. Phoenix, the Western Conference champs, just lost, 14-1. Utah, 16. Philly at 18. Denver and the Clippers at 22. I think Clippers at 22 is very interesting. I want to get your take on that. Mavs at 30. The Miami Heat at 35. Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks at 35. We can go on from there, but I think we can just keep it to these teams, Ken, for this discussion. So I read you that list. What stands out to you and why?
That it's pretty much what we expected. And the reason why that is, so you say like, oh, well, not surprisingly, even the favorites are the Lakers and the Nets, and then the Bucks are third. I was really curious what Milwaukee would be. I mean, I tried to like do some kind of shorthand notes before I saw what the Bet Rivers odds were. And it's not like this was going to be tough guesswork. If you'd put any thought into it, you would come up with a really similar list probably to what Bet Rivers opened at. I was curious how short would the Nets be? I knew they would be the favorite. I thought it might be by a lot. It is. And where would Milwaukee be? I thought that would be really interesting too, because we can, I guess, start here. Milwaukee is actually pretty well equipped compared to other teams to try to defend a title, which is pretty awesome. One of the best things about Milwaukee, and it was going to be one of the worst things if they kept losing, and now it's kind of one of the best things because, you know, a lot of people are more in on the ceiling of the team, is that the three guys, Holiday, Middleton, Giannis, are all going to be together for multiple more seasons. So the core that produced the title stays intact with no drama whatsoever. And that part of that was obviously because Giannis signed before the season too. So all of the usual drama about like everyone wanting theirs and a lot of free agents, and it always causes all this turmoil. Giannis helped get rid of that obviously by signing early, but the idea that all three are under contract for a lot of money for multiple years makes it like pretty easy to envision. So like if you're thinking, okay, well, like what would prevent the Bucks from repeating? Well, I mean, the two ancillary things that are a little interesting. One is they'll obviously have DiVincenzo next year, and I believe he's a free agent the year after next. And they didn't have him for this postseason, obviously got hurt right before the postseason, can only help, right? And then what do they do with PJ Tucker is also kind of interesting. Is he going to retire? I didn't listen to some of the posts last night, and I'm sure he was asked or probably had some interviews. I'm sure he'd be like, I'll take some time, whatever. Strikes me as a guy.
PJ, how did it feel to score 0 points tonight and be a complete and total loser yet again and somehow win an NBA championship?
I mean, like, they did win, and he was on the team, and he was in the rotation. So, like,
you're right.
Does he have value? You know,
I should just do? I should really just shut up. Like, well, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's easy to be like, well, Durant scored a million against him. Be like, well, I don't know. Teams PJ Tucker plays on tend to be awesome. So, like, what is that?
Fair enough.
Like Chris Paul. Teams Chris Paul tend to, and we'll get to that in a second, too.
Fair enough.
So what would the Nets open at? Because they have the most talent. Okay, they're incredibly short. I would never bet them to win the title, but I also think they should be the favorite. Their only free agent decision right now is going to be Blake Griffin, basically. I mean, Jeff Green, too, but if you want to call that an important decision. But it's what do they do with Blake, who ended up being, he mattered a lot. Like, he ended up mattering a ton. Like, what do they do with him? How can they get him back? That's kind of where I would start, is like the two far and away, I think, now with the Bucks playing this well, best teams in the East. What would the separation between them be when each one has very few questions in terms of their core going into next season? Each team's big three is intact. A lot of the ancillary role players are still intact. And there's really only the fine tuning of like, Blake Griffin and PJ Tucker. Like, that's all that's left to be decided, and any additional like exceptions or however you want to add. So I think that's kind of interesting. Like, when you think about the East next year, it's obviously those two and kind of everybody else to start with. Are you surprised that those two were the prices and that that was the distance between them?
I'm definitely not. I think that it all makes a lot of sense. I want to get to the Western Conference here, because I think there's a lot more to unpack in the West.
Sure.
Than the East. I want to talk about the Clippers. I want to talk about the Warriors. We can obviously get into the Suns, but one note on the Eastern Conference here. And I don't know if Atlanta's as interesting as the team we're going to bring up, even though Atlanta beat this team I'm about to bring up in the second round. And that's the Philadelphia 76ers right now at 18-1. Now, I know that they flamed out, obviously, embarrassing game 7 defeat at home to Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. I know there's uncertainty right now about the roster composition. Is Ben Simmons going to be there? Is he not going to be there? We could talk about that as we move along on the show today. And obviously this offseason here, Philly is at 18-1. Philly's got our general manager that I think knows what he's doing based on his track record right in Houston and Daryl Morey. Is Philly at 18-1 something that piques your interest, Ken? And look, I agree. Brooklyn deserves to be the favorite. Milwaukee definitely deserves to be the second favorite. But Milwaukee's 7 and Philly's 18. What about Philadelphia at 18-1?
I don't think it's as, so I understand why you went there, because it's the team that was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and they're 18-1. It makes sense. It's like a jumping off point. I just think if they ever got to a postseason series against these two teams and they didn't have home court, they would be a big dog. And if they did, then it would be kind of interesting, but they have to get there and I have to know what the roster is going to look like. So Embiid, Harris still under contract, obviously like Thibel rookie deal. Simmons is like the albatross, right? Like, what is that? I think Danny Green's a free agent too.
They might get Lillard. Simmons, I mean, who knows, you know?
Right. So your best case scenario, if you bet Philly, is what? They trade Simmons, Maxey, and picks for Lillard, something like that. So now you have, again, like kind of the Bucks holiday move, but not the same thing, but like you consolidate in order to get better in crunch time. So you can go to a closing lineup of, what, like Lillard?
Like, it's not Shake Milton taking the shots at the end of the game. Like, it's Damian right. Lillard.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, you know, if you can have like Lillard, Harris, and Embiid on the court in a closing time situation, that's pretty awesome. The funny thing is, like, let's say they do that. So I still think that's a remote possibility that exact trade happens. Not that Lillard doesn't move, not that Simmons doesn't move, but that exact trade happens. Even if it does, which is your best case scenario by far, if you bet Philly. If they stand pat, the number is at least good. Like, it's just not like a bet you should make. It's at least like correct. They could trade Simmons for crap, in which case you're probably really not happy that you have the ticket with the Bucks and the Nets. Again, locked into awesome cores. It's not like there's flexibility where something could happen. An injury is the only thing that helps you. Like, that's the only thing you can root for with the two teams that are above you. That hurts. In the West, you can root for a lot more stuff than that. We can get to the West in a second. But like, okay, you add Lillard. If they add Lillard, okay, like the price comes down because the difference between them and the other two teams gets better. I think the other two might still be better. Like, I mean, I know the Nets are better. Like, I know I would rate the Nets higher and they should be more likely to win the title. Like, it bridges the gap, but it's not even, and that's like your best case thread the needle scenario. So like, are they interesting? Sure. Like, even if they got Lillard, would I be ecstatic? I'm holding a ticket. Maybe I could hedge out of it. I'd be really happy about that. But like, with the Nets and the Bucks so firmly locked into the cores and so obviously going to win a lot of regular season games barring injury, like, I think that makes it tough to take a team that's the third best or further down if you like another team and like go to war with that team right now in the futures market a year out.
You better you bet. BetQL, Costos, and Barkley running through next season's NBA title odds, courtesy of our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. In the interest of time, no disrespect meant to Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks here, but we'll gloss over them right now. We will talk about Atlanta a lot as we head towards next NBA season.
Yeah, but I'll talk about them. Here's my opinion on Atlanta. I would never, ever, ever, ever bet them right now. I'm probably going to bet their win total under next year. So there's my opinion on Atlanta.
Oh, well, there you go. We'll flesh that out as we move towards the start of the NBA season, which, by the way, I feel like starts in like 6 weeks. Anyway, to the Western Conference. Now, so just as a refresher, Lakers plus 550, Golden State the second favorite in the West right now, gonna get Klay Thompson back, 10-1. Phoenix, the reigning defending Western Conference champions, 14. Utah, the one seed in this past postseason, 16. Denver and the Clippers, 22. Luka and the Mavs, with Jason Kidd as the new coach, Ken, at 30.
Right. And I mean, three significant kind of trade / free agency decisions that'll like shape the odds, right? So Lillard, we already talked about. Where does he go? Is it Philly or New York? Is it somebody else? Does he stay? And in the Lillard market currently, he's like a monster favorite to stay. That's also a low limit
market. -335, by the way, Lillard to stay in Portland.
So it's not predictive, but it's like fun. It's just fun that he's like, okay, so he's a big favorite, because basically we haven't had any news other than like he met with Billups and he met with the owner and like they're trying to figure it out. And he said, I didn't actually request a trade. Okay, cool, whatever. If he goes somewhere, especially in the Western Conference, like if he pairs with anybody, then that team could potentially become a new option that we haven't thought of yet. The two other moves, which are more like sort of like likely to happen. These are things that are going, these are imminent, I guess is the right way to put it. Chris Paul is a player option for next year. It's really expensive. It's like $37 million. And it's actually was projected prior to the finals that he would not pick it up because he could get 2, 3, 4 years and more money from somebody else. Or from Phoenix, I guess, if they could fit him in. And we can talk to Bobby Marks about Phoenix's cap flexibility to do that. If Paul just opts out and says, open bidding, anybody can have me. The Lakers would obviously try to be in play for that, but we'll see what happens there. So Chris Paul's decision matters a ton because where Chris Paul goes, even if they do not win the title, that team tends to win a lot of regular season games. So if you win a lot of regular season games, that's going to impact the futures market. When he went to Oklahoma City, they had nothing and they ended up making the playoffs, right?
When almost beat the Rockets in the first round, took them seven games.
Right. Goes to Houston and joins up with James Harden. And they had already won a lot there, but got to a conference finals, et cetera. Goes to the Clippers. They win a lot of regular season games. And that's why in the futures market, they were always really low. What does Chris Paul do? Where does he go? I think that's an interesting question. Phoenix, I think, gets a lot worse if he leaves. And Phoenix has some other ancillary things to do as well. But Chris Paul's decision will guide some of the futures movement. The other one is Kawhi Leonard. So when the Clippers set up this whole operation.
Is this why they're 22, Ken? Why the Clippers are 22? Because of uncertainty with Kawhi?
Yeah. I think that's definitely a big, that's a big part of it. So for people who are not sort of like aware of the entire dynamics of everything, when the Kawhi PG partnership occurred, it was basically a 2-year window was the idea. Like we get Kawhi and Kawhi basically says, you don't get me unless you get Paul George. So they get both and they trade the absolute world in order to do it. Like 75 first round picks, the world, like just scorched earth draft for the next 10 years. And you do that because you get a guy who's won a title. You think you can win a title in the window. First year, PG plays terrible against Denver. They blow the series in the bubble. That's year one. Only have one more year until decisions are made. That was this past year. Kawhi gets hurt. You lose to Phoenix in the conference finals. Sorry. Beat Utah and then lose to Phoenix. So now the 2-year window is already done. Like everything you traded for that 2-year window that is now ended. So it's almost like, oh no. Okay. So what has to happen? Kawhi Leonard has a player option. Basically like he can come back. Paul George already got his money. So they're tied to Paul George. But what is Kawhi going to do? And like, do you think, and if you're listening to this, like, do you think he's a player where it matters where he goes in terms of like that team can win a title still? Is he still that player? That's kind of interesting too.
Can I ask
is
you
Chris
a question?
Paul going to be that player?
Yeah. And I don't mean to deter the conversation here, but like just for context here, let's say Kawhi doesn't get hurt. Who wins the NBA championship?
Probably. Well, just that injury, but all the other ones still happen. Probably
that's
Milwaukee.
Right.
Probably
so Milwaukee. You think so the Bucks would have beaten the Clippers?
Probably. Yeah. Okay. But like, it'll be very close. Be very close series. Just like the Phoenix series was very close. And you know, Milwaukee kind of solved them basically in their role, and Milwaukee's two ancillary stars played way better. Probably still Milwaukee, but close. So, I mean, it's just the rest of the odds, like the Lakers are going to be the favorite no matter what. They're going to try to trade like every bench player they have that's under contract for Russell Westbrook. And like, maybe that helps. Maybe it doesn't. I have no idea. It'd be cool, you know? And then you've got these secondary teams, right? You've got Denver, who a lot of people are going to like. You got Dallas with Luka, who a lot of people are going to like. You got Utah, who I don't really like. You got the Warriors. We'll talk about them later. And then it's really those two free agent decisions. Those are two other things that can upset the market. Lillard, I guess, is the third one. But Chris Paul, we know that decision's looming. Where does he go? Kawhi Leonard, that decision is looming. Where does he go? The movement of those players will kind of end up like shaping the final version of the prices, I have a feeling.
You know, it's going to be sad when the Knicks don't have a top 4 seed in the playoffs next year.
And Lillard goes somewhere else.
Right? Lillard is definitely not going to the Knicks fans. Real ones know. Damian Lillard's not going to the New York Knicks. All right. On the other side here on You Better You Bet, the great Matt Moore. He's been with us all season long here talking betting the NBA on You Better You Bet. Matt Moore from the Action Network joins us to put a bow on this past NBA season. We'll ask Matt Moore, what do you think of the title odds for next season? Where's Ben Simmons going to play? Where's Dame going to play? Matt Moore answers these questions on the other side on You Better You Bet.
How should you bet tonight's player props? The prop king, Nick Costos, has your answers on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.